You have tuned in to Open Mic on CJSF Radio, broadcasting on 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples. Good morning or afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you're all having a lovely start to your day or end of your day, depending where you are listening in from. And for those of you that have never heard my voice before, hi, welcome. I am Rebecca and I am the public affairs intern here at the station. And for the next hour, I will be your host. And for today, I thought in honor of it nearly being Christmas that I would talk about some interesting Christmas facts and traditions, some that we are seeing across the UK and probably a lot of what you're seeing over here as well, particularly because many British traditions have their roots actually outside of the UK, often coming from Germany, particularly because of the Victorian era with Queen Victoria marrying her cousin Prince Albert, who was from Germany. But I have a list of very different but interesting Christmas facts and traditions for the next hour. And as I'm sure you all know by now, I will always have a selection of music to go alongside today's topic. So starting us off, before we get into all things Christmassy, I have a set of kind of classic indie rock. And we're going to begin with an artist that I have been playing quite a bit the past several weeks. So this artist is a band called Good Kid, and they are from Toronto, and I've been playing quite a bit of their stuff from recent albums that they've released and the recent singles. But today I have more of their earlier stuff because I've kind of gone back and been listening to some of their older releases. So we're going to start with a song that was released in 2020, and then after that I have a song that was released in 2019. So we are going to start off with the song Down With The King by Good Kid, and that's a single, so no album that it's off of. And then after that we have Slingshot by Good Kid. So I hope you guys all enjoy.
Make haste, but I don't know what's ahead or what the ending will bring. I just need to take a minute and then try again to take up the king. If I'm stuck, I'll call you in. Each day I'll move through, and I know a little more. Step
come back home. But each step that you took towards her, well, you took each one alone. And every time you said, my God, how is it up there on that phone? Well, I've been waiting on your feet to just hear you say that I'm not needed. I said I was an honest man, you said I wasn't at all, but I wanted it. Well, I think you're just afraid of the fall, but you won't be there at all, no, you won't be there.
Welcome back to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus and Community Radio. So we just heard a set of indie rock music, and I just want to put a listener discretion to the song that was just played, as it had a bit of explicit language in it. But that was the song We Could Be by the English band The Hunna. And if you've listened to a couple of my other open mics, you'll know I very much love this band. But that was off of their album 100. And just before that, we heard two songs from the Toronto band Good Kid, with the first one being Down With The King and the second one being Slingshot, and both were singles. So now getting into the Christmas topic of today's open mic, I want to kind of talk about the history of some Christmas traditions, as well as some specifically UK Christmas traditions. So to start off with, I thought we would go with the Christmas tree, as it's a very classic symbol of Christmas. And for back in the UK, it was actually introduced kind of in the 1800s. I mean, it's usually credited to be introduced in 1840 by Prince Albert, who was Queen Victoria's husband. But it's actually been found that it was Good Queen Charlotte, who was the German wife of George III, who set up the first known tree at the Queen's Lodge in Windsor back in December of 1800. So it's more known to be Prince Albert to have brought the Christmas tree over, but it was actually about 40 years before he did that the first tree was put up in England. And since then, Christmas trees have become very popular. They started off only being popular with upper classes and were kind of a signal for wealth. And in December 1840, Prince Albert imported several spruce firs from his native town in Germany to serve as Christmas trees, because that there was this symbol for children's gatherings back in England, where you would have piles of presents under a candlelit tree. But it wasn't until a few years after 1840 when journals started to depict and describe the royal Christmas, and there were Christmas trees seen in the background. So it became a custom in England to start putting up Christmas trees. And by 1860, they were no longer just reserved kind of for the upper classes. They were spreading down to the middle classes. And they would usually be covered with candles, sweets, fruit, homemade decorations. And they were still the norm in the early 20th century. But as we can probably tell now, there has been a steady move towards having more artificial trees rather than real Christmas trees in your house, which was kind of coming in the 1930s. And then since 1947, actually, every year Norway has given a large Christmas tree to Great Britain, and it's always displayed in Trafalgar Square in London. And it was because during the Second World War, the Norwegian king and government actually fled to London when their country was occupied. So we always, in the UK now, get a tree from Norway. And it's given as a token of gratitude to the people of London for their assistance. And so this annual tradition now shows a great kind of symbolic importance of Christmas trees in the UK today as well. So they kind of have several hidden meanings for people in the UK. And now going into kind of a tradition that I remember doing a lot more when I was younger than what I do now for Christmas back home, but it's the sending of Christmas cards. So I actually have a lot of friends back home that don't really send Christmas cards or give Christmas cards to their, like, family or friends. It's not seen as really a thing that they do, but it is seen as a particular UK English tradition around Christmas, and it started as, like, the Christmas trees did in the Victorian era, but they became popular in around 1843. But they were really expensive to produce because they were print, so they were ended up only actually being printed on one side only and were the size of what we would probably have as a typical business card today. So they were like very small, not really cards if it was only printed on one side. And they weren't printed in color or anything. They were only printed in black and white. And what I found really interesting when I was researching this was that they were mostly at the start being produced by Valentine's card printers. So they were often only containing romantic images rather than religious ones, because the Valentine's card printer kind of institution was trying to expand. So I thought that was like an interesting little fact. But in the 1860s, things actually changed with the developments in the printing processes. So newer, cheaper cards became available with more complex designs. And by the 1870s, Christmas cards apparently became a very firmly established Christmas tradition. Now, with Christmas cards, I distinctly remember in primary school, so when I was probably around the ages of 7 till about like 11, we would get these like tiny little cards and you would get a pack of about 30 and you would write them for every person in your class at Christmas and you all hand them out on the last day of school before you break for Christmas. And then it kind of stopped when you go into secondary school. I mean, I don't know if they still do that, but that was kind of my tradition with Christmas cards. And then with my family, we all send each other a Christmas card. Like even my parents and my brother, we all kind of write Christmas cards to each other and give them out on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. But I don't actually send any Christmas cards now, kind of to anyone that's not in my family. Me and my friends don't do anything like that. So it's kind of an interesting tradition that I think is probably fading out a bit and probably kind of was much more prominent when I was younger. But yeah, and now going on to probably one that I mean, I don't know how popular it is over here. I assume it's probably similar because I've seen it in the shops, but chocolate advent calendars are a big thing back home. And what I didn't realize is that they are an evolution of a practice that was happening in Germany of counting down through the Christian festival of Advent towards Christmas. So it was often done through the lighting of candles on each of Advent's 4 Sundays. And in the 19th century, a different form of this tradition emerged, with the days being chalked off or counted by hanging a picture on a wall. And this has been like recorded as early as 1851. So again, we're looking similarly to like Victorian era. And in the decade or so before the First World War, this led to the first kind of commercial production of advent calendars in Germany, which was a sheet of different festive pictures, sometimes arranged like a clock. And apparently one early producer was really inspired by memories of his mother making her own calendar for Advent with sweets or cookies for him to eat each day. So in 1926, he brought out a calendar that was with little chocolates in it. And then there was also a development alongside that where there's a kind of classic advent calendar look where there are little doors that open on each day and it reveals kind of a festive picture underneath. So these were kind of the starting points of transforming into the advent calendars that we see now, in terms of you always open like a little door to get like a chocolate or a little gift or something underneath it. But the first advent calendars actually in the UK were gifts from Germany or Scandinavia, or they were brought in by immigrants. So in the wake of the Second World War, there were examples of them being sent to Britain as kind of tokens of friendships from communities across Europe. And by about 1956, they were being commercially produced and advertised over here. I say over here, I mean in the UK. And in the 1950s, it was kind of a very important decade as well for British Christmas, as it was seeing like the first mass kind of wave of working class affluence, and many parents wanting to give their children gifts and experiences that they'd never had. So spending around Christmas rose dramatically in the 1950s on Christmas trees, presents, and everything that was kind of concentrated to middle and upper class, including the advent calendar. Now, chocolate advent calendars were actually being made in the 1950s and 60s, but didn't actually catch on to be a signifier of Christmas until about the 1980s. Usually, the classic kind of British advent calendar didn't include chocolate. It was just pictures, and you open the door and see the picture. And the most kind of well-known chocolate advent calendar that's the most popular in England is Cadbury's, because that's our main kind of chocolate supplier. But they did not manufacture the first chocolate advent calendar until 1971 and didn't actually have them in a continuous production until 1993. So it's quite interesting to see that. I would say advent calendars to me have always been a big part of Christmas. Always like the excitement of counting down, and you get a chocolate every morning. It's kind of the best way to start off your day at school when I was a kid. But I find it interesting that it actually didn't properly become part of Christmas and a Christmas tradition in the UK until about the 1990s, which I thought was quite late and quite interesting, to be honest. And before we get into some more facts and interesting kind of strange traditions around Christmas, I have another set of music for you. This is more kind of indie pop rock. And we're going to start with a duo that are actually from right here in BC, but they have now moved to Toronto. And it is a married couple called Jaylee and Hayden Wolf that make up the musical duo Once a Tree. And they have kind of transitioned from folk music to kind of electronic music. And I really like this song that they have put out, which is called Skull Candy. I will be playing the radio edit of it. And it is off of their album, I Wonder How This Ends.
There's a black cat.